just the right time.
Next, we got coming up an interview that Ken did with two stars of the upcoming NBC series called Merlin. It's the one we've been looking forward to. It's supposed to be fantastic. The previews look fantastic. NBC must like it because they bought the second season. It's Anthony Head, you remember him from Buffy? He plays Uther on Merlin, and also Angel Coolby. She plays Guinevere on the show, and it's the first time that Guinevere has been played colorblind. Well, not, you know, colorblind. I mean, not her, but you know, she's an African American actress. The first time that an African American actress is playing that role. So it's interesting what they're doing with that show. Fantastic. And we shall play the interview, and then once we get done with the interview, Ken's going to be on with us, and we'll discuss the interview with him. I'm not sure how long it goes. Ken's in the chat room, so Ken, if you want to put in there how long the interview goes, we'll start it now, and should start in just in just a second here. And waiting for it to start. It'll start in just a second.
Yeah, the King Arthur mythos are like a big part of my childhood, so I want to really thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. It really means a lot.
Oh, no worries.
So, Anthony, my first question is for you. With this show, we've got Eva Miles, Michelle Ryan, even Colin, even Angel have been a part of Doctor Who and have kind of become a part of like the cult phenomena in America. Of course, with Buffy as well. Do you expect that to translate into success here, I guess, with this show?
I hope so. I mean, it's been a huge success in England and in Australia. And somebody was saying the other day that Australia is a little bit of a guide to what may happen in America. And you never know. I mean, hopefully the American audience will take this in the same way that really has. It's been sold pretty much around the world, and NBC bought it straight out of the box,
right.
Which is fairly unheard of for a British series. Usually, American TV likes something to be tested and tried and well worked in, but this had such a great appeal straight out of the box. The scripts are good, the premise is brilliant, and it has a kind of a it has an extraordinarily wide appeal to all ages. But I don't know. I think it's. I hope the Americans love it as much as we do.
Absolutely. And one thing I have to ask: Doctor Who has kind of been reborn in America with the new telling, and we air it here on the Sci-Fi Channel. What is the connection? I know Julie Gardner at one point in some interview I read in prepping for this said that the Russell T. Davies had an influence on the tone and kind of the feel of the show. Do you agree with that, or what can you say about that?
Russell T. Davies and the tone of Camelot of murder.
Well, yeah. She said that Russell had a kind of an influence on the tone when the show was like coming into production, or
I think Russell probably was consulted in as much as he, you know, I mean, he and Julie worked very closely together, but by and large, it would have just been a sort of a nod, possibly, because I mean, Julian Murphy and Johnny Capps have been creating this series for how many years?
4 years.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, right down to finding this castle, which is the most extraordinary setting for it. I mean, they almost cancelled the series because they couldn't find a castle. And I think Julian was in Portugal at the time when this was finally mooted. And this is the most extraordinary place. It informs everything we do, and it's the most extraordinary setting. It's a magical place in itself. So,
right.
The show can only gain from it. And I think I'm sure Russell probably said gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I don't think he was that hands on.
Yeah, maybe he takes credit for for something there.
Julie, it has to be that Julie had an enormous part to play, and
right.
She is an extraordinary force in TV. And,
yes.
Everything she touches, I think, is phenomenal. So hopefully, this will turn to gold too.
Okay. One thing I really wanted to talk about in looking at the first two episodes that NBC gave us as the screeners, and this is for Angel, the concept of colorblind casting, I guess that's what they're calling it, but can you talk about what that means, and should American audiences be surprised to see a Black Gwen here?
Not necessarily. I mean, I imagine that they, but perhaps they have a different image of Gwen. But you know, I was cast hopefully because I was the best actress for the role.
You're good, by the way. I love you on the show.
Oh, thank you. Declarations of love, amazing. I think hopefully the director and the producer saw me and thought we want Angel for Gwen, and that hopefully the audience who's watching will just enjoy my portrayal of the character and won't be too preoccupied with the colour of my skin. But obviously, you know, in a sort of broader sense, I guess it's great progress that, you know, people that I'm would be cast as opposed to necessarily a white actress, that they're open-minded to, you know, the whole thing is multicast. And I think it makes our sort of telling of the story just a little bit more sort of vibrant and interesting, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree with that. And I love you on the show, so sorry.
Oh, thank you.
No more declarations of love. I won't embarrass you here. So, Katie, I think you're on the show here, or on the air here. The character Morgana, I think, has...
She's filming.
Oh, is she filming?
Yeah, she's filming. She couldn't be here.
Okay.
But I'll ask the Torah if you like.
What's that? We could talk about her. So can you tell me how familiar were each of you with the Arthurian legends? And I mean, the show changes, I guess, a lot of aspects of that. Is that kind of bothersome?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the legend, even the Arthurian legends, have various different versions.
Right.
So there's no sort of necessarily accurate, exact version of the story. What we've done is sort of created our own world and our own image of those legends. We haven't tried to follow them historically or anything. You know, everything down to the costumes. Costumes are sort of a multitude of different eras sort of mixed together. Charlotte Morris does the costumes, done an incredible job on that front. And just in terms of the whole show, it nods towards the legends all the time, but it's not sort of trying to follow any exact path. We know where we have to end up. But as we're the sort of, you know, we're a prequel, we can sort of take any path to get there in the end, which is really exciting for us as actors. You know, we're playing new characters, we're not necessarily playing characters that have already been created. So that, you know, it's great fun for all of us, I think.
It bears witness to the fact that the Arthurian legend has been told in so many ways. You know, it's been, you know, after the Britons, it's been, you know, the lost legion of Roman legionnaires, it's been, you know, it's been Sean Connery and Richard Gere, and, you know, it's been told in so many ways. This is a completely fresh, new way of looking at the story.
Right.
And it's fun, right? It gives the writers something completely new and how to piece little clues of what's going to, you know, how it's going to lead to being used in the, you know, in the eventual legend. Little bits and pieces that have appeared in the first episode, first season, and also now, you know, the shooting halfway through the second season. We've got other little tastes of stuff that will become part of the fabric of the legend, and it just gives us a completely new and fresh and energetic way of looking at the story. And again, I think that's part of the breadth of the appeal. That's why people love it, because it's
right.
It's new, and it makes the audience. It gives them a sort of a heads up to things. It sort of makes them part of the storytelling, which is more fun.
Yeah. So a lot of the American press is comparing the show to Smallville, which I'm not sure if you're both familiar with that, but kind of the retelling of Superman as a young boy. And here we've got King Arthur and Merlin kind of exploring their teenage years, I guess, or the younger experience. Do you feel that's a fair comparison, and do you think that's a good thing?
Absolutely. You know, the producers, I'm sure, use Smallville as a model because it's a great way of retelling a story that has been told almost to the point of, do we have to do that again? It's a very clever way of looking at the thing, and it gives you an opportunity to meet these people, and as as Angel says, that you know, you meet them afresh, and you don't have any preconceptions about them.
Right.
Yeah, you get to know them and sort of become charmed by them, I think.
Right. So, Angel, this one's for you. Anthony has, like, a pretty big cult following in America, obviously from Buffy. And I guess you're going to be exposed to that American audience. Is that something that's intimidating, or do you look forward to that, or how do you feel about that?
No, I don't find it intimidating. No, I definitely look forward to it. you know, I think for all of us, sort of the younger cast in the show, it's hugely appealing to be in a show that's going to go stateside. I mean, I can only think myself. I certainly, you know, want to work in America. I want to work in, you know, all over the world. But
right.
I'd love to work in America. I'd love to get involved in movies and things like that. So, you know, it's wonderful for all of us to sort of have a showcase in a way over there. You know, we haven't even been over there yet, but our faces are going to be on the screens over there. So that's fantastic. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
The thing
yeah.
that's great about the fandom that was created from shows like this is the fact that it gives the show a great longevity. It also gives the show, when Buffy first took off and just after the first season, and I was talking to Alison Hannigan on the phone, and she was talking about, you know, the fan sites that were built, being suddenly created on the internet. It hadn't
right.
been seen before. It's actually, it gives a show like this an extraordinarily strong basis, and you know, it gives it a longevity, which is only to be wished. It's great, it really is.
Yeah, absolutely. So for both of you, do you have a performance in the first series that we should look at that kind of really meant a lot to you, or that you really enjoyed doing? Is there like kind of a favorite episode or favorite arc that kind of hit you?
I mean, I personally have really enjoyed it all, and partly due to the fact that, I'm not just saying this, but we're working with such lovely people, you know. We've really formed a great unit, and I think, you know, we have a real laugh, don't we?
We
really have a laugh.
And all the guests, we've got some great guest players that come on the
yeah.
show, and they all say that this, you know, the word out in the business is that this is a really nice show to work on.
Yeah.
The crew is fantastic. And the actors are lovely. It really is a really very, very happy show to be on, and it tells in what goes on the screen, and you know what you see is just spectacularly beautiful. I guess in terms of because not only is Uther a tyrant and a bloody man, but he's also a father. One of the things that was great fun was playing basically Morgana. Katie Sitkin McGrath plays Morgana, my ward. And some of the fights between me and her have been great
yeah.
fun. Great fun. It's nice to play such a multi-dimensional character who could be very two-dimensional, and you know, just the bad guy who claims magic to be outlawed. And in fact, all the characters are extraordinarily complex with lots of levels and layers, which makes it great fun.
Yeah.
But I would look out for episode 10 where the girls get to fight. Because we don't normally get to fight, that's usually the boys' domain. But yeah, we're given a couple of swords. We
right.
go.
And they kiss them back.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so yeah, we're just very excited here. I think there's like a lot of anticipation in the U.S. about the show and about it coming over. So is there anything, and I think I may have asked this before, so I apologize if I'm asking it again, but is there anything that has been changed that kind of bothers you about the Arthur legends, or I mean, the show's tweaking a lot of the connections. I mean, you've got like Gwen and Merlin seem to be very close, and Arthur knows that Morgana is his sister.
They've mixed it up. They haven't, like I said, they haven't tried to follow anything else. This is something new and fresh and different. You know, I have a bit of a crush on Merlin in the beginning, but, you know, who knows where it will go. And, you know, as I said, we know where we have to end up. We end up where, you know, I become queen and marry Arthur, but in between now and then, you know, the world is our oyster, really. We can do whatever we like.
Right.
Camelot is our oyster.
So you said you're, like, halfway through season two, or series two, is that?
Yeah.
And so that premieres in September, I guess, in the UK.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many have you seen?
Well, I hate to admit it, but I'm a huge fan. My cousin lives in the UK. I was in London for a month ago, and I saw the entire series, so.
Excellent.
So I'm very, very happy. Anything we could do to promote it to U.S. audiences.
Thank you.
It's great.
Cool.
I absolutely love the series. I love both of your portrayals, so.
Thank you very much.
So Mutual Admiration Society, I guess. Anthony, I have to ask a question for you. Ripper, that's kind of on the U.S.
Can we
blogs.
Okay. You want to go ahead and close up? Here you go.
Yeah, can I ask the last question?
Real quick.
Okay, Anthony, Ripper, the Buffy spinoff, that's in the blogs here. Everybody's talking about that. Is that going to come through to a movie, or...?
I don't know, to be honest. The last time I talked to Joss about it, in fact, I introduced him to Judy Gardner, and they got on like a house on fire, and we seemed to be getting somewhere, and then he had a lunch with Eliza, and they got Dollhouse together. So, you know, Dollhouse, I think, is going to occupy him for a while.
Right.
maybe Giles will be an octogenarian.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, and I'm very excited about the series. I hope we can do something to help promote it. Absolutely love you both,
thank you.
So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.